bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
This is The Growth Strategist. I'm Aldana Ambler, and welcome to the program. And each week, we focus on mid-market companies, and the definition of that is, you know, between 20 and 200 million with $1 billion in your eyes. And we have about four target audiences that seem to be listening to us. The first group is the CEOs and presidents of privately held companies at about 20 million high. And the second group is about 10 million. A third group of you are the presidents and division heads and large corporations. I love that. And the feedback I'm getting from most of you are that you see yourself as entrepreneurial, and some of you are ready to bolt out of corporations and create your own companies so that you're identifying with the people that we're talking with on the phone. And the fourth group is just a whole mix, a cacophony of all different kinds of people, and I just love the variety of the questions and the types of people that we're having join us each week. So welcome, everybody. And as you know, we rotate through different growth strategies. One week it's, you know, how do you grow your business through acquisition, and the next week it's geographic expansion, and the next week it's franchising. And then I pepper the, you know, agenda through the year with some solo shows or some resource people, but I'm very selective. This is a peer-to-peer-to-peer show, you know, where you want to have the host, the guests, and the listeners all be in that $20 million to $200 million size range. So I'm very picky. Now, what I'm doing today, as you notice from the promotion, we've had to make a last-minute change. And so I've selected one of my favorite resource people to join us, because here's what I'm noticing. I'm noticing that the recession and the politics and the various things that are happening, like in Wall Street, et cetera, is shaking up the strategic planning room. You know, people are very uneasy, and you know, you can identify with that yourself. And what we're talking about today is, how do you move on? How do you make the tougher decisions and not freeze? How do you let go of some of the presumptions from yesterday? How do you stay authentic? Now, why would I be talking about that? It's not just the news, it's not just the recession, et cetera, but it's the reaction that we're having. I think the media is, if we didn't have a recession, by God, the media would be making it. And you just hear this constant drilling over and over and over about the housing market down. You know, the job starts is down. The changes in the taxes is this, and the cost of oil is that. And here's what's going on in the war. If you weren't depressed, go ahead, watch the news every night, and you will be. So some temptation is to just not listen to all that. There's one school of thought that says, let's just stop thinking about it. Let's focus on business. Let's just take care of our customers, and everything will be rosy. Okay, now I can understand that temptation, because it is a problem with this hypnotism about, you know, the world sucks, everything's rotten, and it does get to you. But if you overreact and you hide from the data, you're going to get blindsided by, you know, that your customers didn't choose the model of avoidance. They really are depressed. They really are scared about their cash. They really are worried about their mortgages. They really are worried about, can they afford their kids' tuition, and it's changing their buying patterns. So even if you blithely choose the avoidance principle of, I don't want to hear it, it's bad news, you know, or Scarlett O'Hara, I'll deal with it tomorrow, you really can't. Okay, second pattern I'm noticing is just let's stick to the knitting. Let's just look at what our strengths are. Let's look what brought us to the dance, all those nifty phrases, all those cliches. Look what our company's been doing for 50 years. Let's get rid of all the noise. Let's get rid of anything that's distracting us. Let's focus, focus, focus. You know, that sounds good. Focus, focus, focus. You know, really play to the strengths. Okay, here's the risk of that. If you focus on your strengths that have been historical, one of the things I've noticed is there is a playing to where you were before. There is a playing to yesterday's technology, playing to something that might have worked. Literally, people are going back 15 years when they're saying play to the strengths. And you can inadvertently, when you're talking about, let's go back to our core competence. All right, now you're playing to employees that wanted to quit. You're playing to people that might need to retire, and not looking at where you're headed. And if you could, you know, leverage your strengths, you know, if you could take a core competence that you've got now and have it future-oriented and take you someplace, then you're talking. But I'm actually seeing some folks, you know, hunker down and hang on to the wrong employees or the wrong technologies or the wrong core product because they got scared and they went back to yesterday's strengths. So be careful if you say focus, focus, focus. Whoa, 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 on what? Next pattern I'm seeing. All right, it, because the world is changing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there is a, now this is an amazing one to me, but it happens over and over and over again. Remember, I've been in business for 38 years now. I know, I started when I was four, but I've been through three or four recessions, depending on which politicians you ask and which, you know, university studies you cover. Again and again and again, when the recessions happen, there is an increased tendency to act instead of be. And I mean act as in the form of, you know, thespians. In other words, seem like you're doing something. Appear like you think other people want you to be, rather than actually be it or accomplish it or learn it. So there's more lying on resumes. There's more people trying to say, literally saying they have a degree they don't. More secrets. More trying, you know, playing to what somebody wants you to say rather than saying what you truly think. More of a tendency towards political correctness instead of an honest answer. So interviews are more difficult. Recruitment is more complicated. And, you know, somebody duck, dodge, hide, doesn't want to tell you the bad news within the company. If everybody's afraid to tell you the bad news and they just want to make you happy and don't want to tick you off because people are on edge, how authentic is the data you're getting? How authentic are the employees you're hiring? How authentic are your meetings? How authentic are your decisions? So one of the things to be really, you know, aware of is this, you know, human response, very human response. And unfortunately, certain cultures are more susceptible to this than others. In a competitive marketplace or in, you know, some places where you're trying never, never, never to disappoint someone, there's a loyalty-based culture in several countries. All right. How do you have people feel comfortable enough that they can say what they're truly thinking, you know, including how afraid they are, including how, you know, nervous they are about the decisions, because you could make more complicated problems if you can't talk to each other. Now, that's one of the reasons I've invited my guest, and we'll get to that in a minute. But just be aware that, okay, one of the reactions is deception. One of the reactions is you're dealing with false ideas and acting. Okay, what would you do about that? So we're going to talk about that today. Another reaction that people have during a recession or when there's bad news or just when there's so much change is simply freezing. The denial leads to somebody being so afraid to make a mistake, or they're so overwhelmed by the data, their competence level goes down. I know some CEOs that I'm dealing with on a few boards where they've been able to be articulate for 20 years, and now they're weighing their words. They're trying to figure out when they should have a press conference. They are bringing in their executive committee to help them make decisions when normally they could just say something and they could just keep moving. You look around, think about the people that you know. There's a freezing. So one of the suggestions I would give you is, what do you do to strengthen your confidence? What do you do to, you know, bring up your energy level? And there's some simple things like sleeping. There's simple things like exercise. Simple things like watching what you eat. Simple things like, you know, doing an inventory at night. You may need to, you know, check off the kinds of decisions you were capable of making. Look, kind of reread your real resume and remind yourself that you're capable. Remind yourself why you're in the job. Kind of look back at why you're the right person at the right place at the right time. And kind of think about what Jim Collins talks about in Good to Great. It's like the six rights. I always forget one of them. But, you know, the right people in the right place at the right time, doing the right things in the right way for the right reason. And if you can ask yourself, you know, you're the right person at the right time because, you know, there was a reason that you're there. But are you doing the right things? Are you doing something from a position of, you know, ethical basis? Are you taking care of your company? The stewardship mentality is still there. You're not trying to prove yourself, protect yourself, you know, be self-serving. If you're really thinking about that stewardship mentality over the corporation, it is the right person, the right place at the right time, doing the right things in the right way for the right reason. Hear it? If you can ask yourself honestly at night, even if you're dealing with extremely complicated questions, those six rights, it makes a very big difference in your confidence level the next morning. Now, a lot of folks don't want to hear that. You know, I can see some drops. You know, the engineer shows me who's listening and who's not. And a lot of people are already disappearing. That's the last pattern I want you to think about. That's the ultimate avoidance. That when someone is talking, no, it doesn't matter if it's me or Oprah or some self-improvement book or a seminar, there is a shutting down from learning. That if something feels like it is, I've heard it before, or yeah. I mean, I've heard the, you know, you've got to diet. I've heard you've got to get sleep. I've heard you've got to build your confidence. I've heard, yeah, I know all that stuff. And so the attention spans of people during change and during recessions and when there is a time when we have to make tough decisions, our capacity to take things in is dropped like a rock. You know, so your meetings need to be shorter. Your reading sessions need to be shorter. Instead of trying to take in a whole book, because you won't do it, you'll put it down. Instead of trying to read a whole book, pick chapters. Instead of trying to listen to, I mean, even just an hour-long radio program like this, people are listening to segments, and I'm doing things in segments for a reason. You know, obviously the technology that's out there is helping us, you know, do that with podcasts and shorter sound bites. But be honest with yourself. Go after it, because here's one of the things I'm seeing in CEOs. There is, and because you can't read a whole book, or because something seems so obvious, or because you've heard it before, shut down and have nothing. So I'm seeing less attendance at seminars, less reading of books, less seeking of advice, less asking for coaching. Wait a minute, whoa, how about an overreaction there? If you can take it in shorter sound bites so that you will take it in, then you have more resilience and you're more able to use the advice. Instead of, don't let yourself shut down. Follow it? Okay, so let me see if I can go through the patterns again. There is, and I'm not going to do them in sequence, but I want you to hear it. Be aware that there is an avoidance pattern. Be aware that there's an overreaction pattern. Be aware that there's a denial. All these, listen to all those phrases. Those are very emotional, aren't they? I didn't say that people are overspending. I didn't say that they're, you know, that they're making the wrong product decisions. I didn't say that their marketing sucks. No, I went right to the emotional response to recessions and some significant change, because that's where the action is, folks. That's where some of the, you know, the data's there. You know, the dollars and cents and the reports and the market dynamics, a lot of that stuff's sitting there. And folks aren't even reaching out and looking at it. I'm amazed at how many people aren't. And I'm in a project right now that's fascinating to me. I've been asked to be a facilitator for a visioning exercise for the state of New Jersey. And I'm very delighted. It also scares the hell out of me, to be really honest. The governor is a very bright man. He was the CEO of Goldman Sachs. I mean, you know, this is really cool. And, you know, the legislature is really bright, capable people that care. And the people who are on the cabinet for the governor, there's not a slouch among them. And then the CEOs of the corporations, I'm sitting on the executive committee in the New Jersey Chamber. I mean, really, really capable people. We have to come together to really articulate a vision for New Jersey again and create an economic development plan again. Isn't that exciting? We have to use some of the things I'm talking about. And if the emotional response of avoidance or ignoring that people might, you know, extrapolate on the data, or some people denying the data and saying, I don't want to even see that study. That's too nasty. That's not positive enough. Think about if New Jersey has to deal with it, why wouldn't your company? We're going to be right back. I've got a resource person for you that's walking the journey, going, helping companies and dealing with this at a very big scale. You'll be really tickled with my guest. We'll be right back.
Talk about his money. Call us toll free 866-472-5790 and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about the impact that recessions and the news and the various challenges that are out there, how they have an impact on your company's decision-making. And we have an emotional response of avoidance or denial or just shutting down or distorting or going backwards. I mean, those are not attractive things, but they're very human. And if we deny that we have some of those tendencies, we're going to make some mistakes in our decision-making. So I've pulled a resource person that I've been, you know, very comfortable to bring into corporations, and she's out there with some really cool clients, you know, like little guys like Disney and, you know, so I want to interview Kathy Dempsey. Are you there?
I am here.
Hello, Kath.
Hey, Aldana. How are you today?
I welcome you, and I'm delighted that you were able to do this. I've been wanting to have you on the program for a while, so I apologize for the short notice, but you're going to be fabulous.
Oh, thank you for. I am just thrilled. Thank you very much.
Now, the name of your company is Keep Shedding.
Keep Shedding, absolutely.
Okay, now it could have been a lot of different things, you know, like change management, R Us, or something. Why Keep Shedding?
Well, the whole company is based on the analogy with a lizard, because lizards grow by shedding their skin. And if they don't grow, they die. And so the analogy is what can we learn as humans from the lizards?
Okay, so they don't just shed their skin. I mean, I remember something about their tail.
Yes, they also shed their tail. They actually self-amputate their tail.
Whoa.
And so if there's a predator that comes, the lizard will actually snap his tail,
yeah,
and it detaches and falls off.
And then what happens in the fight? You know, does somebody, what happens during the fight? Isn't there something
about the predator goes after the tail, which is wagging, and then the lizard escapes.
What is it, like still moves while they're fighting?
right.
Oh, my God. You know, I know it sounds like a goofy way to start the interview, but, you know, you think about it, there really is an analogy for companies because, you know, when they're under attack by cash flow or recessions or the government regulations or high taxes, or they have a major, you know, competitor trying to come after them or all this stuff. I mean, they do feel under attack right now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What's the equivalent of shedding their tail? I mean, is it dropping excess, you know, plants or resources? I mean, what's the equivalent of shedding their tail?
Well, for executives and business leaders, the focus is that the lizard reminds us how important detachment it is for our survival of our business.
Okay.
That really sometimes we have to separate ourselves from things or people or partnerships or anything that can inhibit the health and growth of our business.
So it's like you're saying to them in the strategic planning room, the executive session, they've got to look at maybe some products that haven't been making the money, research that's not going anywhere, in employees that maybe they thought, you know, if they've been suckers for potential and been hanging on, that this might be the time to revisit that, kind of free themselves up from things that are getting in the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're holding them back or could really threaten their survival.
See, now I think about a lot of family businesses with this. It's amazing to me how many privately held companies see themselves as family-owned. 90%, which blows my mind because you look at it, you don't see the relatives, but they see themselves as family-held. I wonder sometimes if some of the dysfunctional behavior in families and that we're trying to take care of Uncle Mortimer who would never be employed anywhere else and that whole, you know, the multiple purposes of the business and they're milking it and draining it, they got to deal with that kind of stuff, particularly in recessions.
Absolutely. And it's difficult. It's hard because there's, you know, multiple relationships going on at one time that they're struggling with.
Yeah. Now, you've been doing this work for a long time. What you do, if I remember right, you have speeches that you go in and you're helping people, you know, just kind of get the concept, get their arms around this whole concept of how do you shed. But you also have a very interactional approach. Like, give me an example of what you might do with a Disney.
Disney did bring me in this past year, and they brought me in to do a storytelling workshop.
Whoa.
And
why storytelling?
Well, you know, Disney is known as, you know, the best of the best in storytelling. I mean,
well, they're the best of the best in a lot of things. Wow. So why was that a good intervention point?
Well, that's exactly the question I asked them. Why? Why? And they said, you know, we are the best, and we are at the top. But in order for us to continue to be at the top, we need to continue to train and develop our people. And we need to be better at storytelling. And so I came in and did a storytelling session to take them to the next level.
And now, what did you do differently? I mean, because they get all kinds of input and lots of speakers and such. What'd you do that would wake them up and have them see something different? Do you remember? I mean, it's a year ago, but still, what'd you do?
Well, it's to help them imagine the possibilities. I mean, look at Disney. I mean, talk about imagination. That really goes back to their core. And oftentimes groups get stuck, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, that they get stuck doing the same thing that they've always done, and it's tradition, and they get focused on if we just do the same thing, then we'll move forward and make it through. And often it just takes doing something totally different, doing something that you hadn't thought about that really takes you to the next level.
How'd you come up with something different that Disney hasn't even thought of? I mean, that takes some prep. That's pretty cool.
Just reminding them of where they started with imagination, and maybe they can really take that to really think about doing something unconventional.
Now, some of your presentations are things with special effects and mysteries and darkness and all this kind of stuff. And how do you know which thing to pick? Give me another example of a company where you came in and you just did something outrageous where I could just see the meeting planners or the speakers bureaus holding their breath. But it's needed. That's the whole point. At the beginning of this program, that's the whole point. If somebody's stuck in avoidance, denial, shutdown, distort, if you come in or I come in and other people come in and they just do a presentation that's on change is the most difficult thing for us to face, and there's 7 steps, and the guys shut down.
Yeah. Yeah,
they don't want to hear it. So you got to do something outrageous. You got to do something different, or they won't hear it.
Right.
So give me another company.
A few months ago, Honeywell Corporation.
Cool.
They were having a international meeting with all their Six Sigma Master Black Belts, and they had having all of them from flying from over the world. And they said, you know, we know we're at the top. We know we are known in across the world as one of the best Six Sigma organizations.
Yes.
They said, but we want to raise the bar. We want to do something different.
But talk about guys that have been there, done that, heard it before, and might be vulnerable to shutting down.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and these are extremely bright people.
These are
PhDs in statistics
and
aerospace engineers and people who, you know, are just so, so, so bright.
So what'd you do?
Well, we hallucinated.
You did? Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. It's almost like you put them in some kind of a trance?
Yeah, well, actually, we went 2 years in the future. So the date was, they showed up for the event, was actually September 19th, 2009.
Okay.
And we had the whole Twilight music going, and all of a sudden the lights went out, and it was September 2009. And all of a sudden they were given an international award.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited them to join us in a huge ballroom to celebrate this award that they'd won in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're walking out of the auditorium and they're walking into this room, we have the celebration music going. We have the balloon drop with hundreds of balloons. We have the champagne going, and we have the noisemakers, and we threw a party and celebrated it in advance, 2 years.
Well, they could definitely get into the moment.
Oh.
I can see the rigid ones having it, you know, the issue of, you know, the stereotypic engineer that would be walking in the line to celebrate, and at first they go, this is stupid, under their breath. And then by the time they get a balloon or a noisemaker, they're probably some of the most fun people in the room.
Oh, they were. They were toasting each other. They were celebrating, and we celebrated in advance. And then we stopped. We freezed. About 10 minutes later, we freezed the entire celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, in just a minute, you're going to be interviewed. We have the New York Times. We have the Wall Street Journal. We have the TV stations. They're all outside the door, and they want to know, how did you do it?
Yeah.
You know, how did you do it from 2 years ago? How did you take Honeywell, the Master Six Sigma Black Belt Corporation, how did you take it to the next level? And so we had them freeze and prepare for 10 minutes what they were going to say to the media.
See, now I love that because, you know, some people have heard me talk about three types of change. There's transformational, you know, transitional and developmental change. And an awful lot of times during recessions and complicated times, like it is now, I mean, it is, transformational change is what's needed, where, you know, and that's vision driven. That's, you know, what are you trying to create? And one of the real important reasons to do it is that if it's not exciting, if it's not big enough, if it doesn't look like it's going to matter, folks don't want to do it. And, you know, they have to stay motivated to try, because day to day, all it feels like is less resources, everybody's mad, it's depressed, and they have less help. So it better be worth it. So I love the fact that you help them vision the why bother.
Yeah, and people were excited.
Yep.
You could feel the energy. You could feel people feel that they were creating a vision together, that they could jump out of bed every morning and say, you know, let's go.
It's so important because, you know, an awful lot of folks are feeling, you know, complete loss of energy. So even if somebody didn't, you know, like say one person in that audience didn't get the vision, it can happen. At least they got the energy. They got the infusion of some, you know, it could be different, and, you know, it's fun, and we can enjoy the people we're with, and it doesn't have to be so onerous. So if somebody's worried about taking a chance to do something, kind of an event like that, you know, that's like a side benefit to remind them of, isn't it? Now, I got to go to a break, but I want to ask you, how on earth did you get into this kind of work? And, you know, how are companies hearing about you? And, you know, what are the resources do people have? Let's get a little bit of your journey for the next segment, okay?
Great.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Kathy Dempsey of Keep Shedding.
Money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you ever had a bad day and wish someone could come along and change it at the flip of a switch? Do you dream of living the life of wealth, great relationships, and the perfect job, but don't know where to start? Then tune into The Winner's Attitude with corporate trainers, motivators, authors, and hosts Jeff and Val G. No difficult strategies or complicated keys. Jeff and Val present a powerful and effective technology to switch your operating system to create the most amazing life. It has been said that winners have simply formed the habit of doing amazing things. Winners know how to activate that switch, and so can you. The Winner's Attitude with Jeff and Val G. Broadcast each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. The Winner's Attitude. Switch me on.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And today I'm talking to Kathy Dempsey of Keep Shedding. And, you know, before the break, we got into a couple of the examples of the work that she's doing, you know, where she comes in and does an intervention for, you know, big companies like Disney or, you know, the Hewlett-Packards of the world, et cetera. But, I know you have something coming up with the Florida realtors, correct?
Yes,
now,
I do.
Now, what on earth are you going to do for the people who are in the realty business? Because they're all kind
wow.
of dragging their, you know, their jaws.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, Florida is just being announced that they are the worst housing market in the country.
That's amazing.
That one out of every 95 homes
mm-hmm.
is getting ready to go into foreclosure.
That's amazing.
It really is. And the realtors and the brokers, they're just really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things you mentioned at the you know a little while ago on the interview, they're struggling with you know overreaction and denial mm-hmm. and what are we going to do and life wasn't the way it was a couple
so
of years
do they
ago.
Do they even come to a meeting or a session or do they just come to commiserate with each other?
Well, I think they're all in that almost in a freeze mode. Some of them are struggling
mm-hmm.
with and you know what about even going to as you said going to training sessions
oh,
and going
yeah.
to conferences like well, I don't have the time or
yeah,
money
why
or
bother,
energy to,
you know I got to get back to my real work and all they're going to do
right.
is bitch and moan and complain so what
right.
are you going to do
well really going to look at helping them look at where they are you know the reality
mm-hmm.
to not bury themselves you know their head
yeah.
in the sand to not deny it the bottom line let's look at reality what is going on
yeah
life is not the same as it was a couple years ago
yep
and one of the things that I use that really helps organizations and executives deal with any situation is the three R's of shedding.
Which is what?
Well, the first one is release the emotional attachment. You know,
see, that word emotional again. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to, again, be real. You got to be able to acknowledge what is really going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's getting out of that denial stage.
I've seen some people when I've worked with them, and you know, that whole idea of when they start recognizing that people are starting to lie and duck
mm-hmm.
and try to seem and act and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's the thing that's most amazing or embarrassing, and it actually is the thing that frees them up to release
mm-hmm.
because they know. If they're getting into that kind of stuff, they're really in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost like, well, if I just close my eyes, it'll go away.
Yeah.
And
so you have some exercises to help them release?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the next second R?
So the second R is to reframe the situation.
Like what? Like how to
reframe
somebody
it
who's
in
really
a
in a sucky real estate market, how do they reframe that? I mean, it does suck.
That this may be an opportunity to shift my business. Maybe I was selling new houses, but now I am buying and reselling foreclosures.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and real wealth is made during recessions. That's the irony.
Oh, it is.
It truly is. I mean, you know, as a growth strategist, some people have wondered, Aldana, how do you even have clients during recessions? Are you kidding? My best projects, the things that have made multi-millions, have been, you know, facilitating roll-ups, facilitating acquisitions, getting people to, like one guy that I have that I'm working with, he has an internet company, you know, website business, and he's fabulous, and he's got great staff. And to me, an acquisition is a company in search of a CEO. well, he's, you know, young and vibrant and smart and capable and ambitious and all this. We're scanning the universe for the companies that are in website work that, you know, have been hanging on, and they're maybe baby boomers that really don't want to do it anymore. And they can let go, and they can sell it for less than they would have two, three, 4 years ago. And he's going to be able to bulk up his business through some acquisitions because of the recession. I mean, that's part of the reframing, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. To see what the possibilities are. How could this situation, with most of us would say, would be, you know, more a negative situation, more a down situation, but how can you reframe it in a positive way that just the possibilities of what could be are really entertained.
Well, there's a lot of folks that when it's really going well aren't receptive to learning, or, you know, in a different way. They get cocky.
Right.
And they won't, you know, they don't get help from their CPA. They don't get help from their lawyer. They don't change the technology. I actually find that some service people have a better chance of helping visionary companies during recessions. That makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's got to be a future-oriented one, doesn't it?
Right. You know, I love Tom Peters' quote. He said, incrementalism is the enemy of innovation.
Yeah. And this isn't that's so cool. I actually feel that, you know, this is not time for the developmental incremental change. It is, you know, the transformational. It is. You know, and in the background, you know, be working on what are you trying to create for 3 years from now, not, get you know, just get through today. So what's that? The third R is?
So the third R is to refocus the energy.
Okay, so now you're back to that energy field stuff again.
Yeah. Oh, energy is just so huge because usually in a recession, usually when people are down, usually people are dealing with all these emotions, it's an energy drainer.
Yeah. So you're not talking about refocus the money, refocus the resources, refocus the structure, or are those part of energy?
Yes, I mean, you refocus your energy, refocus the energy. Maybe you've been selling a particular product and you need to switch and let go and refocus the energy to another product.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally refocusing, letting go of the stuff that's holding you back, that's draining your energy, and really focusing forward.
Now, see, I see this as important for so even the companies that are reading the books about focus on your strengths and all that. If they don't make it sound new, and have something that's innovative and fun and stretches and pushes the employees to do it in a new way, you know, going back isn't going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to refocus even a strength.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, how'd you get into this? I don't want to skip that. You know, you've been doing this a while, but, you know, this is a, talking about vision-driven, kind of transformational. Something tells me you weren't doing this forever.
No, I wasn't, Aldana. Actually,
you were a nurse, right?
I was an ER trauma nurse.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
Now, I've heard your story. I've heard your speech about you had a scare being diagnosed with AIDS.
Right.
Or HIV positive.
Right. First healthcare worker to be diagnosed HIV positive in the country.
Whoa.
And talk about a, you know, stressful situation. You know, that was really, really stressful. So for months, you know, I went through pretty traumatic situation. And it ended up, you know, after taking off my job and everything, that ended up everything came back negative.
But it was transformational for you.
Oh, it was transformational because I had my wake-up call for my life. You know, I had been doing the same thing, the same way, and I didn't have – it was something that just said, you know, what are you doing? Why are you here? It really was the one pivotal moment in my life where I really shifted.
Mm-hmm. And some people, you know, they haven't had something like that gives them the wake-up call, but they don't have to wait to have a diagnosis of cancer or something like that to be awakened. You know, why wait for that? You know, why have to have a traffic accident or why have to have a death or something to say to you, oh, you know, how are you using your strengths? How are you, you know, living in the moment? How are you making a difference? Why are you here? Especially when everybody else around you is in a negative kind of mode and is so so in need. Gosh, if you could deploy your energy in a way that's constructive, it can be thrilling.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the wonderful opportunity is you don't have to go through trauma and you don't have to go through, you can make a decision today that, you know, this is what I'm going to do different.
See, and that's some of the advice I want to give the CEOs that are listening that, because, you know, the job is onerous right now. I mean, being a CEO can just seem like you're slogging through this and you can't figure out what you finished that day. And it is important to get recentered at night around all the folks around you are in desperate need. You know, they really are beat up, and they're feeling, you know, dragged out, and there is a screaming need for a leader. If you ever wanted to be needed, if you ever wanted the fact that you were put in the right place at the right time to be important in your life, it's now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have that identity, if you have that training, if you have that opportunity to be a leader over folks that are just being beat up, wow. So, you know, just let go. I mean, here, talk about what Kat's taken, saying that release moment of it's not about you as a CEO. I'm going to exaggerate it. Who cares how you feel? Who cares how scared you are? Who cares if you do or don't know? If you can let it go and have the freedom to care about the people around you, and that you're a facilitator, and that you're a conduit for them to be able to achieve things that they don't think they can do, and let everybody else around you, let the, you know, the organizations around you moan and grind and, you know, complain and say, we can't do this and we can't do that. But that light that a CEO can give to an organization around, well, yeah, we can, because you're really capable, and we can figure this out, and you know, there are opportunities in a recession that people can't see. That staying open, keeping your brain in function, is probably the one task. You know how, you know, Curly and in the City Slickers talk, you know, that Jack Palance role, and he put his finger up and said, find the one thing.
Right.
I think the one thing for CEOs, don't you, Kath, is this: can you stay open on a day-to-day basis?
I really believe that leaders need, and executives need, to listen to their inner voice.
Yes.
And, you know, I tongue-in-cheek call it my be psychotic strategy, because that's what psychotic people do, that they listen to their voices, and they do what they say. But so many times, we don't listen to our inner voice. We don't listen to that, whatever we call our gut, our sixth sense, whatever it is inside of us that really is screaming at us.
Well, you know,
do
I don't think some of the CEOs out there have permission. I call it situational permission. They don't really have situational permission to give in to the fear of failure. And that's what a lot of the situation is forcing on them is, boy, if I screw up, I'm living in this glass house, and everybody's going to notice, and I've got the responsibility of this big corporation on my shoulders. And all that, the self-talk of negativity, is going to kill them. I mean, that's the worst. That's the worst.
And, you know, Aldana, there are huge risks. I remember after I was a nurse, I moved up into hospital administration, and so I ran psychiatric units and alcohol and drug units. And I remember for weeks, I would get up in the middle of the night, and I would get the screaming voice, I'd get out of the business.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, every night it was like, get out of the business.
Of my CEO clients are feeling like that. They're going, gosh, I don't know if I can handle this. This is really incredible. And I don't blame them. I mean, the circumstances are just, you know, awful, but you know, if we can't find that first one, the first R, the release, then we're frozen and we can't help. Now, I got to go to break, and I want to come back. Can we focus for a little bit longer about how can a CEO who's feeling that shutdown, that denial, that, oh my God, I don't think I'm enough, what can they do to release better? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Kathy Dempsey.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune into Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Small business owners, do you want answers to your most pressing financial concerns? Do you want to stop stressing about money and finally understand how to create wealth? Let Elizabeth Potts Weinstein and the Wealth Spa Radio Show answer your most pressing financial and legal questions about your small business and help you achieve business success and the lifestyle of your dreams easier and faster than you could imagine. The Wealth Spa Radio Show broadcasts live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about how do you get past that avoidance, denial, shutdown, distort, going backwards, freezing kind of reaction that people are having to the, you know, recession and the negative news out there. We've got to keep changing and keep open. And so I'm talking with Kathy Dempsey of Keep Shedding, and so she's telling us to be like a lizard and shed our skin and move on. And she just mentioned that we have to release, reframe, and refocus. Now, before I ask her some other questions, I want to hear some punchlines to the stories that she did. I want some contact information, Kath. If people want to reach you, where would they, you know, either call you or email you?
They can visit my website, which is keepshedding, KeepShedding.com.
Okay. And any toll-free number that they can reach you?
Number is 302-765-3301.
Okay, and for those of you who want to contact me, I get a lot of emails and such after the show. If you know my name, it's easy to reach me. It's Aldana, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. And the toll-free number in the United States, I own so many different companies, I had too many telephone numbers. So if you're dealing directly with me, it's 1-888-ALDANA. And I'd welcome your calls and your suggestions of guests and your questions and any reactions you have to this. And Kath and I will compare what we heard from today. Now, let's make sure we get back. What happened with Honeywell? You had that big visioning session, and you got them all excited about the award. Then you punchline, what happened?
Well, they in the 10 minutes where they were preparing for the interviewer of how did they do it, how did they reach this state 2 years later, what they were really doing was they were setting the strategic implementation steps, the strategies of what they needed to do to get to 2 years in the future.
Are you able to tell me a little bit about how they refocused? I mean, because we're all kind of watching them and seeing it anyway.
Well, they really looked at we're doing the same thing the same way, and what do we need to do different?
Oh, so you can't tell us what they refocused and chose.
Well, you're going to see the results.
Oh, okay, all right. All right. Well, okay, you're not going to tell us that. You know, because, hey, you know, sometimes I think that people who are looking for stocks, you know, to buy, I think they should watch for the companies that do these types of things, and that's who you should invest in. The ones that wouldn't take the chance to hallucinate and figure out some visionary change, why put your money there? I mean, I honestly think people should follow you and I and kind of invest in our clients, but what can I tell you? Now, I'm serious. Now, you know, one of the techniques I've heard you do is that you have some questions for the CEO, things that they should consider asking. What's that about?
Well, I found that any time you're going through change, which, of course, every organization goes through change, there's three questions that every executive or business leader needs to be able to respond to. And that is, they need to respond to, first, why do I have to change?
Oh, well, that's true. Because, you know, if it's not worth it, and they feel like, you know, this is what brought me to the dance and we're really good, they kind of resist.
Right. I like what I'm doing now, especially with the staff and employees and different people in the organizations. You know, why are you asking me to change too? Everything's going pretty well, or, you know, I like what's going on.
Or I'm at least used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Status quo. And we get used to things, even though they may be uncomfortable for us.
Yeah, I know some people that are really used to, say, overeating and they're fat, and they still need to have that first question answered. Yeah. Why should they change? Okay, so what's the second question?
The second thing is, do I have the necessary skills and talents to deal with the change?
Oh, that's a great one, because a lot of folks don't.
Yeah.
And they get, you know, if they're worn out and they haven't faced the first one, is the big why, and they're so scared. Well, some of the things I find that some of the reasons that people are afraid is that they don't know enough and they don't want to be embarrassed. One of my clients, you know, they what we really needed to do was to go in global, and we went through the whole why question of, you know, why do we need to change, and what kind of clients are we going to get into. And the thing that was stopping them was the fear of the cultural differences, the fear of the language differences. They didn't know the legal. It was that second question of, we don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very bright people that didn't want to be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, it's too bad we don't know. So we had this great equalizing kind of boot camp where everybody, because, you know, the CEO didn't know how to speak French either, so everybody kind of went into this boot camp to learn the cultural things, the language things, the legal things together really quickly. So there was this ramping up of skill. And then we revisited and said, okay, now you feel a little more ready.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was very freeing.
Yeah, and you know, you're right, Aldana. Fear is the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number one thing, that the reason why people don't shed, don't move on, don't release that attachment we were talking about earlier.
And smart folks don't want to look bad. I've seen entrepreneurs, they're willing to admit what they don't know when they're first starting their business, you know, because, you know, they weren't expected to know anything anyway, and they can always cop that they're beginners. But after they've been in business for a while, they want to act as though they understand finance when they don't, and
yeah.
They're afraid to go off and secretly take the finance for non-accountants, and they really better do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to go on a board of directors because they don't know Sarbanes-Oxley. But you know what? You can take the class. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know everything. So what's the third question?
The third question is: Are you going to need me anymore?
Yes.
You know, am I going to be antiquated? You know,
yeah.
Is this change going to leave me, you know, where is it going to leave me?
Now, I think that's a really big one, because I love these questions, Kath, because, like, the CEOs that I talk to and the ones that are listening to this, they knew how to be president, but that doesn't mean they knew how to be CEO. And there's so many subtle differences, not just dramatic differences. And they knew how to get the company, you know, guys knew how to get the company where it is now. But, you know, will they have the right skill set? Are they going to feel needed? Are they going to feel important when there's a CFO and a chief counsel and a chief marketing officer and somebody else in charge of sales? You know, what are they needed for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they don't have a clear vision of what that new CEO role is, they can feel really left out.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you help them with that? Because they're going to be scared.
Well, it's going back to first of all, just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Just being honest about what is going on. What are the emotions? You talked about at the beginning about avoidance and overreaction and denial and distortion and all those things. You just have to first just put it on the table. What is going on?
Now, see, a lot of people who are listening aren't going to be surprised that Kathy and people like her that do these, you know, presentations where she can help a whole group of, like, 300, 3,000, whatever, you know, people hallucinate about where they're headed and wake them up. She's like a wake-up call, the drama, often needs strategic planning help and executive coaching to do it, following it, because, you know, the CEO, when they start realizing how scared they are, they're going to need some private, you know, place to deal with that. It's not, they can't just have this wake-up and then go back where they were. So I just want to point that out, is that they're, you know, that combination of get the wake-up call for everybody excited, but then don't drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about, you know, what kind of executive coach, you know, what kind of consulting do you need? This is the closest I come to a sales presentation on my radio program, but I'm really going to point this out. If you're going to have enough nerve to do the visioning, if you're going to have enough nerve to have that change dramatic event that Kathy does, and other people, you know, there's not very many people that do it the same way Kathy does, but, you know, you can choose a different style. Different, you know, Kathy's not the only one, right, Kath?
No, absolutely not.
No, but, and there's some that specialize in certain industries and all that. But if you choose that, then don't drop the ball and not, you know, show that you meant it, and invite people to be open to whatever kind of training. Like one of my clients, what they could really tell is they had the aha moment for them was, they had to raise the bar. They had to open their eyes to brand new technology. They needed video conferencing so fast. They needed interactional websites so fast. And everybody had to just let go of the ignorance and the fear of not knowing how to use the technology. And it was an infusion of energy, an infusion. They had to invest in it, but it made a huge difference. Follow through if you get the wake-up call. Well, Kath, I really appreciate you, you know, being a guest on the show. You were fabulous, as I knew you would be. And I thank the listeners for logging on. And as I, my wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.